joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, have you ever been hypnotized?
No. I've seen a hypnotist show, a couple of them. Thought they were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Never been hypnotized.
I've always heard they're great. The reason we're mentioning this is the Blue Jays are doing that tomorrow. They're bringing in like a comedian, like a hypnotist comic or whatever. I don't know. He's going to have some goofy routine or whatever. And it's something different. It's all about team building. But if there's one hero in the room that doesn't find it funny or thinks that it's lame or unbecoming of a major league clubhouse, that I'm not sure it's going to work, but I guess you give it a shot, right? I'm sure you've seen a lot of different coaches over your career try different things.
Well, but what's he going to do? Take Kevin Pillar and tell him he's Mike Trout?
Well, exactly. There's only so much you can do.
You can hit the ball.
Like I don't know. Could you imagine sitting in a room and you got a hypnotist that's going around? I can only think of the scene. One of my favorite movies was The Natural. And they bring in that old hypnotist and he's like, losing is a disease. And finally Robert Redford just gets up and he's like, this is ridiculous.
Old Roy Hobbs.
Old Roy wasn't buying it. But I'm like, I don't know, if you got 25 guys sitting around and somebody's trying to hypnotize you into that you're a really good team when you're not, you're all going to be like, but man, like I watched us play, we're no good.
Well, exactly. Yeah, there's only so much power, you know, a hypnotist can have.
But I'm watching right now on YouTube a Las Vegas hypnotist make a bunch of people on a stage dance around, and there is a grit grinder who is just cutting a rug, and then he snaps his fingers. The guy's like, where the hell am I? I mean, I think those comedy shows are amazing.
I don't think they should be allowed to just walk around in society.
Could you imagine?
Like, if you're a hypnotist, you're basically a witch.
But you're on the subway, and you don't like what this guy's up to. You, like, give it a little snap. And
this guy, like, pulls his watch out. Yeah, it's like, oh, here we go.
Get off the subway
now. That's why I don't believe in it, because you could just go up to a random guy. Give me your watch. Oh, okay, here you go.
Well, you got to do something first to get the guy hypnotized, right? But if you have that ability, right. I don't know. Anyway.
I think you would hypnotize, like I heard you say about the Leafs, what you would do is like you'd hypnotize the bottom half of their defense into thinking they're way better.
Yeah. You know what? And people are texting in saying, I'd hypnotize Babcock into changing up the lines and maybe not playing Ron Hainsey 25 minutes a night. That's probably what you got to do.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. If you don't play Ron Hainsey 20 minutes a night, who's going to take the minutes? Do you want Martin Marincin to play more?
Well, not right now, no.
I mean, it's not like they got a lot of options here. Like, they're not hiding a Norris Trophy candidate, and they're going to spring him on game one of the playoffs.
Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Like, if Gardner and Dermott, if they're not back at 100%, or they're just simply not playing, then
yeah,
it doesn't really matter how anybody feels. Riley, Hainsey, Muzzin, and Zaitsev are going to play a ton of minutes.
And Muzzin's play has dropped off.
Like
he's hit a patch where he looks a little uncomfortable. I think he's thinking out there too much. And as you guys know, the minute you start to think on the ice, you're not reacting and you look a little bit behind the play. I still have confidence that his game will get back to where it was with that initial push when he got here, but he certainly doesn't look as comfortable as he was when he first came over.
Well, once the adrenaline runs away, right? You settle in, and it's as we know, it's not very easy. I don't know if you guys watched Columbus last night, but the guys they brought in there, none of them look like they've made any impact. It's hard going somewhere else in the middle of a year.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier.
I would think Matt Duchene, he must feel hypnotized. Like somebody's hypnotized him into being just a cooler wherever he goes. Because when he got acquired last year, the wheels fell off in Ottawa. And now he comes into Columbus and everyone's like, we're all in. And they paid more for him than they did anybody else they acquired. And he can't score. He's not doing anything. They're a mess. I mean, they're still within striking distance. They're 2 points out. It's not like the season is over. But how would you be feeling if you were Matt Duchene? And this would be like deja vu.
Man, the collar gets tight for sure. Like, I know, like, I got traded right at the deadline to St. Louis, right at the end of my career, because Doug Weight was all banged up and he was just coming back. And so I knew, like, they stop me because they're, you know, hoping I could provide some offense. And I was playing in Atlanta, man. It didn't matter what you did. You just went out and played. And now I just instantly it felt different. Like the guys were better that they were playing with. The games meant more, that you felt the pressure. And, or at least I did. And I would suspect he does too, because there's also a bigger game to this. If they miss the playoffs and he stumbles into the offseason with, I don't know, 6 points in 20 games in Columbus, what's coming July 1st?
Yeah, it changes your marketability. And that, I was actually going to ask you about that, Ray. How long did it take you to feel comfortable in your new environment? I mean, sometimes we lose sight of that. I mean, I just talked about Jake Muzzin. You know,
I never did, Noodles. I never did in St. Louis. I mean, it was 15 or 16 games, and then the playoffs. We won the first round and then lost to Detroit in the second round. And, you know, I don't know. I always felt like a little bit of an outsider because, you know, everybody'd been there so long, and you're kind of like you're the new guy, but
living at the hotel, guy. Like living at the hotel, you're not really settled, you know?
You're nowhere. You're look how many good players have gone at the deadline, and you think it's going to be a great acquisition, and it just doesn't turn out. It happens every year.
Yeah.
Well, with Muzzin, you know, he started on such a he was running on adrenaline, and it worked right. for him. And he was playing well, and he was playing well in L.A. And they've got term right.
Like that's he's the still thing. Here he's next here. Year. He's here, and he's he knows here. He's from here. He's comfortable. I'm sure he's got some sort of lodging. I don't know if where he lived in the off season and stuff, but he's familiar. Like Ray going to St. Louis. Like other than you visiting there, you didn't know anything. You didn't know the city very well. I'm sure you knew a couple guys on the team, and you were going. As a rental, you weren't going on a 3-year deal, or even at Muzzin's got an extra year. I'm not worried about Jake Muzzin settling in. I'm more worried about his timeline. He's got to speed up a little bit because he's got to be going for the playoffs. But a lot of these rentals, we forget. And I didn't go as a rental, but I was traded at the deadline. I lived in a hotel. I never felt comfortable. The organization was in turmoil. I was traded to the Rangers when they were selling off everyone, so it was a gong show. But you never really, as you said, Ray, you never feel comfortable in your skin because you're not in with all the other guys and the inside jokes and lunches and everything. Like you're trying to just fit in as quick as possible. And on the ice, you're trying to learn the systems and gain some chemistry with players. Like it's very tough to do.
Well, and I would think for Muzzin, he comes here and, you know, the thought was that, okay, he's going to play with Riley and, you know, Babcock's first quote is, it's not perfect, but we'll do the best we can with it. And then you're bouncing around with partners, and you know you're not playing as well as you think you can play. Like, I think he looks slow right now. And it might be to what you said, Noodles, that too much thought makes you slow. It makes you half a stride away right. from where you need to be. And there's a lot of times where that's where he is. Like, the play he made the other night, who had the puck? Somebody passed it over to Levo. Goldobin. They were shorthanded. He moved, like he made a terrible read. And you're like, man, he doesn't normally do that. And then it's in the net.
Yeah.
And so, it's like he's really important to any success that they're going to have.
Well,
like he's not a bit part.
No.
If they're a good team.
No, exactly. Like even if Gardner and Dermott are playing.
He's a top four.
Jake Muzzin was acquired to play, you know, 20 plus minutes a night, kill penalties and perform. And they're going to need that out of him. And, you know, tomorrow night they're in Edmonton, and Edmonton continues to win games. They're still 7 points out of the playoffs. It's probably too little too late. In fact, I think.
Or is it?
I think we know that it is. I mean, look at Minnesota. They go into Tampa and win last night.
The three bottom feeder teams that are fighting for it, Minnesota's 6-0-2 in their last eight. I think Edmonton's 6-1-2 in their last nine.
Yep.
And
Dallas.
Arizona.
Arizona's
is 7-1 or 7-0-1 in their last eight. Like it's and Dallas is the other one, right? Like there's four of them for those two spots.
Dallas has won 4 in a row.
But even if you look at Dallas's last 10, they're right there. Like
right.
It's you're right. They're on a roll, but it's too much to make up, bridge the gap, because everyone else is winning around them. You know, even Chicago won last night. They're kind of hanging around. Like there's teams that are hanging around. There's only one or two teams that have dropped out. Anaheim obviously has the Habs tonight.
But they're done. Anaheim's done.
And L.A. is gone. They're
L.A.
is
gone. L.A.'s the only – L.A. and Anaheim are gone. Vancouver's not getting there either.
Edmonton 6-1-2.
Yeah.
And in that stretch, they've made up 1 point.
Yeah. Because everyone's winning.
The only thing they've got going for them is outside of Toronto, they play a whole whack of teams here that are outside of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they can't – the way it looks, I mean, it's like they're not going to be able to lose another game.
Well, and they've
like
got
they can't.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. That, and they've got to play the teams that you're trying to battle. Like they're
6-1-2 and you make up 1 point.
But like, you're battling, like you've got to play Dallas. You've got to play Minnesota. Like that's how you're chasing those guys.
You got to win in regulation.
Well, and you got to win in regulation.
These 3 point games are what makes it impossible.
Hey guys, here's an even better example. Boston's 14-0-4. They can't get any closer to Tampa.
Jesus, they did it again last night in regulation.
Well, even the Leafs aren't. It's not like the Leafs have tailed off behind them either. Like they have points in 18 straight. They're only four up on the Leafs. You know, like
they can't. Like after a while, it's like you have to when there are a couple teams between where you need to get to. That's the real problem, because everybody's not going to go into the ditch. You might one team might crash and they fall out of it, but there's too many teams that are mixed in there. And for Edmonton, they've put together a really nice run here. A lot of it is all of it coincides with Sekera's return to the lineup, and that gives them another NHL defenseman. But it's too little, you know, too late for them.
Brucey's team is on fire.
Yeah, the Wild. Well, they go into Tampa and win. If anybody beats Tampa, it's big news. And Nazem Kadri returning tomorrow night, and Babcock came out and said what we'd all expect that he would. You know, he's an important piece, and he's got to be as good, if not better, than he was. We really need more out of him, or he needs to be an impact guy. I don't remember him suffering a concussion at any point in his career.
Me neither.
So this could be, this is a new experience. Like, I don't know, Ray, if you've been through this, but you know, he's been off for a few weeks now. And
I think the first couple of games, you're thinking about contact. You're like, do I really want to run this guy over? How bad do I want to run that guy over? And then you kind of ease into it, and then you forget.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Oh, like, it's getting rattled around again doesn't seem like a great idea.
Or the one thing for him, Ray, is he loves to cut into the middle with the puck. That is going to be something that's going to be in the back of his head, because that's how he got crushed. Do I really want to make that move to the inside? And it was an irresponsible move. It was like peewee hockey. You don't put your head down, cut to the middle. You're going to get crushed in the NHL. And that's going to be something he's got to deal with.
But would he go out of his way, and I don't know if you guys ever did that, would you go out of your way for your mental psyche to actually have those hits? Like, I could see, knowing Nazem's competitive spirit, to me, he wants to show everyone he's fine, so he's going to be running around.
Yeah. Like that. I can't speak to it really, Jamie. I've known from talking to my teammates, I never miss time for a concussion.
Right. So I've seen guys on both sides of the spectrum where they play a little bit shyer, they don't go to areas where they may have went before, and I've seen other guys try and overcompensate and run around and let everyone know, hey, I'm fine. And
especially on this team, where they're not a big rough and tumble team, and one of the guys who can be a spark plug is Nazem Kadri with his play.
I don't mean to make a joke about the concussions, but I know I had a couple, and I can't remember anything of it other than I just came back and played.
Well, that could be good.
You know, like, yeah, what my point was, like, now there's so much more information. I think if a guy was a little bit tentative, it would be because he's more informed. Like, I just came back, and, like, the game was in 2 days, but I had just knocked out, and I had a headache, and you just played. Like, if I'm making the point correctly, I could understand if he's a little bit tentative, because he's been out a while, he's got lots of information, and you can see around you what all the talk is about concussion and about return and about protocols and things. We just didn't have any of that stuff.
Well, he's he can be a loose cannon. And he came out and he said, listen, I think it was Vince Dunn that got him. He said it was a clean hit, and I had my head down, and he got me. You know, and I put myself in that position. But
right.
He's a loose cannon anyway. I wonder if this, you know, changes the way he reacts to getting hit. Because he's going to get hit. He's not a big guy anyway. He's got a target on his back. There's a lot of players in the league that don't like him. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be targeted tomorrow night in terms of, hey, I've got to hit this guy with a headshot or anything stupid like that. But something will happen between now and the end of the year where he loses his mind on the ice.
Right.
And I'm curious to find out, you know, will a lesser event trigger that type of reaction because he's more sensitive to it? We'll find out. But because he is, Ray.
Yeah, it does add a whole new layer to their lineup, though. He's important to them. And I found most of the year, my view is that he's always been a little bit unsettled in his role. It's been an uncertain year for him. But when there is focus to the role or focus to the job, that's when he's at his best. And it would be in the Leafs, best interest to have that defined for him, to have a real purpose to his role, because I think that's when you get the best from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Leafs Oilers tomorrow night. Enjoy that. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then. Have a good weekend, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota RAV4 the safest SUV? See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com.